the Mishnah in Avos in the sixth parak introduces in order to acquire Torah is to be someone that loves rebuke. And that's very uncommon because most people in life don't love rebuke or not ohevas hatochachos. They're not looking for people to challenge their reality. They're looking for people to ratify and to validate who they are because it's psychologically pleasing. And personally, it's very, very affirming when people tell us how great we are in our accomplishments. When people challenge us and question our behavior, sometimes it's very unsettling and destabilizing. Rabbi Saul Salanter, who started the Musar movement, once told someone that if a Rav isn't constantly being challenged, isn't constantly being asked to leave, then he's not doing his job, because his job is to challenge people morally, and presumably when he challenges them, they're going to kick back, they're going to be disappointed with him. So the job of a Rav is not to be popular. The job of a rabbi or the job of a Rav is to challenge people and question their assumptions and push them to spaces that are beyond their comfort zone. So that's the topic of today's very, very quick Mishnah. We spoke yesterday about timing in human relationships. A second statement of Rav Shim ben Elazar is, Yesh lecha chaverim miktsasan mochichin or miktsasan meshabchim otcha. Some friends of yours, we call them yes people. They'll make you feel good about yourself. They'll affirm your way of life. Some friends, they'll challenge you. You should try to migrate towards those who challenge you and away from those who flatter you. Because those who challenge you will bring you into the next world. And those who flatter you or just affirm whom you are, motziacha min olam. They will take you out of this world. A very, very interesting Mishnah. Let's break it down. First of all, the Mishnah is talking about the importance of rebuke in the context of friendships. As I'll speak about, you should try to find a friend. Over the next couple of years, you're going to start to choose your friendships. When you're in high school, in camp, you really don't choose your friendships. Or at least you choose within a very, very limited pool. The people that you're thrown into camp with, into school with, in your neighborhood, in your youth groups. And then you migrate towards those that you're a little similar to, or your families are closer. Now, as you're getting older, you can actually choose your friendships, who you want to be friends with. So one of the criteria of choosing friendships, obviously, is the same values, not only who's popular, but who has the values, because so often values are contagious. And if you want to acquire a value, you have to acquire it through osmosis, by interacting with people, circulating with people that have that quality trait. But also, try to find friends, and really good friends, who challenge your assumptions, who challenge your way of life, who force you to higher ground, who force you to become more religious because their religious lifestyle is so inspiring, or they think so carefully about it. And obviously, the best type of friend is not just a friend who will tacitly challenge whom you are, but who will be so close to you, and you'll feel so close to that person, that friend can actually directly and frontally offer you rebuke. It's very rare. It doesn't occur very often, because most of the times we're very, not jealous, but everyone has an axe to grind. Everyone, we feel, is not... Now, let's say your friend comes up to you and says something. At a certain level, we're all competitors for jobs, for you know, you want to go out with a certain girl. I mean, even if it's not head-to-head competition, we all feel that there are those on our who are our peers who maybe are saying things because they want to bring us down a bit, maybe they want to build up their own ego. It's hard to find people in life whose love you trust so deeply and whose friendship you trust so deeply that when they say something, you listen almost blindly and you take it to heart. It's very rare. Most people don't have it at all in life. Some people have it, sometimes in a wife, in a spouse. That's ideally what you should be looking for in a wife. Not just someone who looks up to you, but someone who knows whom you are well enough and can frontally provide rebuke, input, feedback, critique. You should certainly try to find it in a Rebbe. Certainly not choose Rebbeim. It's very common today to choose Rebbeim who are very popular, who are very charismatic. You should try to find Rebbeim who aren't afraid to say hard things to you, and whose opinion you trust, that they're not saying it for any other sake other than for your own improvement. And to a degree, if you can find it in a friend, it's really helpful. When Rebbe Chassidim would tell me something, I would listen very, very carefully. I wouldn't always agree, because it was about my private life. But I would listen carefully, and if I didn't understand it, I'd think about it for a few days. Well, why is he telling me this? And maybe I should think about it from a different angle. Maybe I should... I listened very carefully to his rebuke. So friends, Rebbeim, wives who are also friends, those are the people who can very often provide this type of tochacha. And that will ultimately bring you to the next world. Now, if you're looking for friends who not only don't provide tochacha, but who provide flattery and just affirm who you are, well, that's the type of experience that could be motziacha, not just from the next world, but from this world, because you're so interested in people's approval, now people see you. Chazal say one of the three traits that simply ruin your life, not just, it's a punishment from Hashem, kina, v'hataiva, v'hakavod. If you're constantly living with envy, or you're constantly desiring things beyond your realm, material desires, and kavod, you just care about too deeply, you're too intoxicated to have people see you, kina, taiva, v'kavod, motzinas adam in olam. You ultimately live an alternate reality. You don't live in your world. You're not here in the moment. You're constantly desiring what you don't have. You're constantly jealous of what other people have. You're looking for approval rather than conviction and principle. So if you build the types of friendships based on input that's affirming and validating only, then not only do you not get to the next world, but your experience in this world is severely tainted. I'll just end with the story of Amitav would always tell us about Mendela, whose job it was in the shtetl to wake everyone up the entire Chodesh Elul. And for 4 weeks, and 2 weeks, they said slichos. Every night he came and dragged people out of their bed, banged on their doors, and woke them up for slichos. Now it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Mendel was so exhausted from his work during Elul that he was falling asleep during slichos, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So everyone in shul started taking little paper balls and throwing it at Mendel to wake him up. At some point he looks around and he says, I'm exhausted. Please let me sleep. I said, Mendela, you didn't let us sleep the entire Chodesh Elul. You kept us awake. You think we're going to let you sleep now? So Rav Amital would say, that's why Am Yisrael can't return to Israel quietly, because we kept the world awake. We kept the conscience of the world awake for 2,000 years because we constantly challenged the world to higher moral ground, to higher theological ground. We're the Am HaNivchar. We represent Hashem. We kept the world on its toes. Now we just want to return to Israel and go to sleep. The world is saying, you kept us awake for 2,000 years. You think we'll let you go to sleep in Israel, quietly return to your homeland? We'll throw things at you. We'll throw rockets. We'll throw challenges. So sometimes the core of anti-Semitism is that we challenge people. People don't like an alarm clock. People don't like a moral challenge. They don't like looking at the other and being forced to question whom they are. But that challenge to question whom you are, that's existential success. That's how you know you're alive. If you just sink into cultural patterns and social customs and common mores, then you'll be at best mediocre. Probably at worst, you'll be very, very flawed as a person. So it's really the constant search for identity, for improvement, for new horizons, for new ideas, and find people who can challenge you, as I said before, either implicitly. I think sometimes in our community, there's a Haredi phobia, where people don't like Haredim, and they paint them in very, very stereotypical terms. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that many people feel challenged by their lifestyle, because this is a lifestyle of idealism, of passion, of commitment to Talmud Torah. So if you disagree with that ideology, you don't think that it fits you, ask yourself, well, where's my passion? Where's my sacrifice? Where's my commitment? And when you discover that answer, you'll find some of that phobia fading. Because you say, look, I have my own passions, commitments, and avodas Hashem. This is my style. That's their style. But it's not just people who implicitly challenge you. It's also friends that know you really well that can say, maybe you should be changing your approach. Maybe you should be improving this character flaw. Because those are the people who really help you towards success in this world and ultimately, as Shimon ben Elazar said, into the next world. So think about that as you start to locate and build friendships over the next couple of years. In general, take friendships seriously. When you're young, friendships just are something that happen by the by, ad hoc, freelancing. When you get older, you really have to start choosing. Doesn't mean you should snub past friendships, chas v'shalom. We should be open to forming friendships, not just based on common interests and popularity, but based on real values that you want to acquire. It's a very, very important thing to consider. Okay? Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day.